Chapter 9 Lost Boys. The moan rolled around the clearing, as mournful as a month of Mondays. Row, row! It sounded like some animal in terrible pain, but it was, in fact, not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock Jock, who was standing on a snowdrift with one hand pressed to his heart and the other outstretched, very theatrically. He was rolling his eyes, too. "Ooh!" "Ach, the muse is a terrible thing to have happen to you," said Rob Anybody, putting his hands over his ears.
"Oh, it is with great lamentation and much worrying dismay," the pixie groaned, "that we regard the doleful prospect of fairyland in considerable decay."
In the air the flying creatures stopped attacking and began to panic. Some of them flew into one another.
"With quite a large number of dreadful incidents happening every day,"
not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock Jock recited.
"Including, I am sorry to say, an aerial attack by the otherwise quite attractive fae."
The flyers screeched. Some crashed into the snow, but the ones still capable of flight swarmed off amongst the trees.
"Witnessed by all of us at this time, and celebrated in this hasty rhyme,"
not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock Jock shouted after them. And they were gone. Feagles were picking themselves up off the ground. Some were bleeding where the fairies had bitten them. Several were lying curled up and groaning. Tiffany looked at her own finger. The bite of the fairy had left two tiny holes.
"It isn't too bad," Rob Anybody shouted up from below. "No one was taken by them. Just a few cases where the lads didn't put their hands over their ears in time."
"Are they all right?"
"Oh, they'll be fine with counselling."
On the mound of snow, William clapped not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock Jock on the shoulder in a friendly way.
"That lad," he said proudly, "was some of the worst poetry I've heard in a long time. It was offensive to the ear and a torture to the soul. The last couple of lines need some work, but you has the groaning of fine. I know, a very commendable effort. We'll make a gonagal out of you yet."
Not as big as medium-sized Jock, but bigger than wee Jock Jock blushed happily. In fairylands, words really have power, Tiffany thought, and I am more real. I'll remember that. The Pixies assembled into battle order again, although it was pretty disorderly, and set off. Tiffany didn't rush too far ahead this time.
"That's your little people with wings," said Rob, as Tiffany sucked at her finger. "Are you happier now?"
"Why were they trying to carry you away?"
"Ach, they carries their victims off to their nest, where their young ones—"
"Stop," said Tiffany. "This is going to be horrible, right?"
"Why, gruesome," said Rob, grinning.
"And you used to live here?"
"Ah, but it wasn't so bad then. It wasn't perfect, you mark you, but the queen wasn't as cold in them days. The king was still around. She was always happy then."
"What happened? Did the king die?"
"No, they had words, if you take my meaning," said Rob.
"Oh, you mean like an argument?"
"A bit, maybe," said Rob. "But they was magical words. Forests destroyed, mountains exploding. A few hundred deaths, that kind of thing. And he went off to his own world. Fairyland was never a picnic, you ken, even in the old days. But it was fine if you kept alert. And there was flowers and buddies and summertime. Now there's the drones and the hounds and the stinging fae and such stuff creeping in from their own worlds. And the whole place has gone doon the lavy."
Things taken from their own worlds, thought Tiffany as she tramped through the snow. Worlds all squashed together like peas in a sack, or hidden inside one another like bubbles inside other bubbles. She had a picture in her head of things creeping out of their own world and into another, in the same way that mice invaded the larder. Only there were worse things than mice. What would a drome do if it got into our world? You'd never know it was there. It'd sit in the corner and you'd never see it, because it wouldn't let you. And it had changed the way you saw the world, give you nightmares, make you want to die. Her second thoughts added, "I wonder how many have got in already and we don't know. And I'm in fairyland where dreams can hurt. Somewhere all stories are real, all songs are true." I thought that was a strange thing for the Kelder to say. Tiffany's second thought said, "Hang on, was that a first thought?" And Tiffany thought, "No. That was a third thought. I'm thinking about how I think about what I'm thinking. At least, I think so." Her second thoughts said, "Let's all calm down, please, because this is quite a small head." The forest went on. or perhaps it was a small forest and somehow moved around them as they walked. This was fairyland, after all. You couldn't trust it. And the snow still vanished where Tiffany walked, and she only had to look at a tree for it to smarten up and make an effort to look like a real tree. The Queen is, well, a queen, Tiffany thought. She's got a world of her own. She could do anything with it. And all she does is steal things, mess up people's lives. There was the thud of hoofbeats in the distance. It's her. What shall I do? What shall I say? The Nac Mac Feagles leapt behind the trees.
Come away out to the path, hissed Rob Anybody.
She might still have him, said Tiffany, gripping the panhandle nervously and staring at the blue shadows between the trees.
So we'll find a way to steal him. She's the queen, you cannot beat the queen face to face.
The hoofbeats were louder, and now it sounded as though there was more than one animal. A stag appeared through the trees, steam pouring off it. It stared at Tiffany with wild red eyes, and then, bunching up, leapt over her. She smelled the stink of it as she ducked. She felt its sweat on her neck. It was a real animal. You couldn't imagine a reek like that. And here came the dogs. The first one she caught with the edge of the pan, bowling it over. The other turned to snap at her, then looked down in amazement as pixies erupted from the snow under each paw. It was hard to bite anyone when all four of your feet were moving away in different directions. And then other pixies landed on its head, and biting anything ever again soon became impossible. The Nac Mac Feagle hated grimhounds. Tiffany looked up at a white horse. That was real too, as far as she could tell. And there was a boy on it.
"Who are you?" he said.
He made it sound like, "What sort of thing are you?"
"Who are you?"
said Tiffany, pushing her hair out of her eyes. It was the best she could do right now.
"This is my forest," said the boy. "I command you to do what I say."
Tiffany peered at him. The dull, second-hand light of Fairyland was not very good, but the more she looked, the more certain she was.
"Your name is Roland, isn't it?" she said. "You will not speak to me like that."
"Yes, it is. You're the Baron's son.
I demand that you stop talking."
The boy's expression was strange now, creased up and pink, as if he was trying not to cry. He raised his hand with a riding whip in it. There was a very faint thwap. Tiffany glanced down. The Nac Mac Feagles had formed a pile under the horse's belly, and one of them, climbing up on their shoulders, had just cut through the saddle girth. She held up a hand quickly.
"Stand still,"
she shouted, trying to sound commanding.
"If you move, you'll fall off your horse." "Is that a spell? Are you a witch?"
The boy dropped the whip and pulled a long dagger from his belt.
"Death to witches!"
He urged the horse forward with a jerk, and then there was one of those long moments, a moment when the whole universe said, "Uh-oh." And, still holding the dagger, the boy swiveled around the horse and landed in the snow. Tiffany knew what would happen next. Rob Anybody's voice echoed among the trees.
"You're in trouble now, pal. Get him!"
"No!"
Tiffany cried. "Get away from him!" The boy scrambled backwards, staring at Tiffany in horror.
"I do know you," she said. "Your name is Roland. You're the Baron's son. They said you died in a forest. You mustn't talk about that."
"Why not?"
"Bad things happen."
"They are already happening," said Tiffany. "Look, I'm here to rescue my—" But the boy had got to his feet and was running back through the forest. He turned and shouted,
"Get away from me!"
Tiffany ran after him, jumping over snow-covered logs, and saw him ahead, dodging from tree to tree. Then he paused and looked back. She ran up to him, saying,
"I know how to get you out!"
And danced. She was holding the hand of a parrot, or at least someone with the head of a parrot. Her feet moved under her perfectly. They twirled her around, and this time her hand was caught by a peacock— or at least someone with the head of a peacock. She glanced over his shoulder and saw that she was now in a room. No, a ballroom full of masked people dancing. Ah, she thought, another dream. I should have looked where I was going. The music was strange. There was a kind of rhythm to it, but it sounded muffled and odd, as if it was being played backwards, underwater, by musicians who'd never seen their instruments before. And she hoped the dancers were wearing masks. She realised she was looking through the eye-holes of one and wondered what she was. She was also wearing a long dress, which glittered. "Okay," she thought carefully. "There was a drome there, and I didn't stop to look. And now I'm in a dream, but it's not mine. It must make use of what it finds in your head, and I've never been to anything like this.
"Wah, wah, 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 wah,"
said the peacock. The voice was like the music. It sounded almost like a voice, but it wasn't.
"Oh, yes," said Tiffany. "Fine."
"Huh?"
"Woff, woff, woff, woff."
This seemed to work. The peacock-headed dancer bobbed a little bow, said
"woff, woff, woff,"
sadly, and wandered off. "Somewhere in here is the drome," said Tiffany to herself. "And it must be a pretty good one. This is a big dream." Little things were wrong, though. There were hundreds of people in the room, but the ones in the distance, although they were moving about in quite a natural way, seemed the same as the trees, blobs and swirls of colour. You had to look hard to notice this, though. First sight, Tiffany thought. People in brilliant costumes and still more masks walked arm in arm past her, as if she were just another guest. Those that weren't joining the new dance were heading for the long tables at one side of the hall, which were piled with food. Tiffany had only seen such food in pictures. People didn't starve on the farm, but even when food was plentiful at Hogswatch or after harvest, it never looked like this. The farm food was mostly shades of white or brown. It was never pink and blue and never wobbled. There were things on sticks and things that gleamed and glistened in bowls. Nothing was simple. Everything had cream on it or chocolate whirls or thousands of little coloured balls. Everything was spun or glazed or added to or mixed up. This wasn't food. It was what food became if it had been good and had gone to food heaven. It wasn't just for eating, it was for show. It was piled up against mounds of greenery and enormous arrangements of flowers. Here and there, huge transparent carvings were landmarks in this landscape of food. Tiffany reached up and touched a glittering cockerel. It was ice, damp under her fingertips. There were others, too, a jolly fat man, a bowl of fruits all carved in ice, a swan. Tiffany was, for a moment, tempted. It seemed a very long time since she had eaten anything. But the food was too obviously not food at all. It was bait. It was supposed to say, "Hello, little kiddie, eat me." "I'm getting the hang of this," thought Tiffany. "Good job the creature didn't think of cheese." And there was cheese. Suddenly, cheese had always been there. She'd seen pictures of lots of different cheeses in the almanac. She was good at cheese and had always wondered what the others tasted like. They were faraway cheeses with strange-sounding names. Cheeses like Treble Wibbly, Wainy Tasty, Old Arg, Red Runny, and the legendary Lanker Blue, which had to be nailed to the table to stop it attacking other cheeses. Just a taste wouldn't hurt, surely. It wasn't the same as eating, was it? After all, she was in control, wasn't she? She'd seen right through the dream straight away, hadn't she? So it couldn't have any effect, could it? And, well, cheese was hardly temptation for anyone. Okay, the drone must have put the cheese in as soon as she'd thought of it, but she was already holding the cheese knife. She didn't quite remember picking it up. A drop of cold water landed on her hand. It made her glance up at the nearest glittering ice carving. Now it was a shepherdess, with a saddlebag dress and a big bonnet. Tiffany was sure it had been a swan when she'd looked at it before. The anger came back. She'd nearly been fooled. She looked at the cheese knife. "Be a sword," she said. After all, the drone was making her dream, but she was doing the dreaming. She was real. Part of her wasn't asleep. There was a clang. "Correction," said Tiffany. "Be a sword that isn't so heavy." And this time she got something she could actually hold. There was a rustling in the greenery, and a red-haired face poked out.
"Psst!" it whispered. "Dinny eat the canapes!"
"You're a bit late."
"Ach, weel, it's a cunning old drome you're dealing with here," said Rob Anybody. "The dream wouldn't let us in unless we was properly dressed."
He stepped out, looking very sheepish, in a black suit with a bow tie. There was more rustling, and other Pixies pushed their way out of the greenery. They looked a bit like red-headed penguins.
"Properly dressed?" said Tiffany.
"Aye," said Daft Woolly, who had a piece of lettuce on his head. "And these trousers are a wee bit chafing around the nethers, I don't mind telling you." "Have you spotted the creature yet?" said Rob Anybody.
"No, it's so crowded."
"We'll help you look," said Rob Anybody. "The thing canny hide if you're right up close. Be careful, mind you. If it thinks you're going to whop it one, there's nae telling what it'll try. Spread out, lads, and pretend you're enjoying the ceilidh.
What? Do you mean get drunk and fight and that? Said Daft Willie.
Crivens, you wouldna believe it, said Rob Anybody, rolling his eyes. Nay, you puddin'. This is a posh party, you ken. That means you mak small talk and mingle.
Ach, I'm a famous mingler. They won't even know we're here, said Daft Willie. Come on.
Even in a dream, even at a posh ball, the Knack Mac Feagle knew how to behave. You charged in madly, and you screamed politely.
"Lovely weather for the time of year, is it not, you wee scunner?
Hey, Jimmy, I ain't no got a pomfret for an old pal."
"The band is playing divinely, I dinna think.
Make my caviar deep-fried, will you?"
There was something wrong with the crowd. No one was panicking or trying to run away, which was certainly the right response to an invasion of feagles. Tiffany set off again through the crowd. The masked people at the party paid her no attention either. And that's because they're background people, she thought, just like the background trees. She walked along the room to a pair of double doors and pulled them open. There was nothing but blackness beyond it. So, the only way out was to find the drome. She hadn't really expected anything else. It could be anywhere. It could be behind a mask. It could be a table. It could be anything. Tiffany stared at the crowd, and it was then she saw Roland. He was sitting at a table by himself. It was spread with food, and he had a spoon in his hand. She ran over and knocked it onto the floor. "Haven't you got any sense at all?" she said, pulling him upright. "Do you want to stay here forever?" And then she felt the movement behind her. Later on she was sure she hadn't heard anything. She'd just known. It was a dream, after all. She glanced around, and there was the drome. It was almost hidden behind a pillar. Roland just stared at her. "Are you all right?" said Tiffany desperately, trying to shake him. "Have you eaten anything?"
"Faw, faw, faw,"
murmured the boy. Tiffany turned back to the drome. It was moving towards her, but very slowly, trying to stay in the shadows. It looked like a little snowman made of dirty snow. The music was getting louder. The candles were getting brighter. Out on the huge dance floor, the animal-headed couples whirled faster and faster, and the floor shook. The dream was in trouble. The Knack Mac Feagles were running to her from every part of the floor, trying to be heard above the din. The drome was lurching towards her, podgy white fingers grasping the air.
"First sight," breathed Tiffany. She cut Roland's head off.
The snow had melted all across the clearing, and the trees looked real and properly tree-like. In front of Tiffany, the drome fell backwards. She was holding the old frying pan in her hand, but it had cut beautifully. Odd things, dreams. She turned and faced Roland, who was staring at her with a face so pale he might as well have been a drome. "It was frightened," she said. "It wanted me to attack you instead. It tried to look like you and made you look like a drome. But it didn't know how to speak. You do."
"You might have killed me," he said hoarsely.
"No," said Tiffany. "I just explained. Please don't run away. Have you seen a baby boy here?" Roland's face wrinkled.
"What?"
he said. "The Queen took him," said Tiffany. "I'm going to fetch him home. I'll take you too, if you like."
"You'll never get away," whispered Roland.
"I got in, didn't I?"
"Getting in is easy. No one gets out."
"I mean to find a way," said Tiffany, trying to sound a lot more confident than she felt.
"She won't let you."
Roland started to back away again.
"Please don't be so stupid," said Tiffany. "I'm going to find the Queen and get my brother back, whatever you say, understand? I've got this far, and I've got help, you know."
"Where?" said Roland. Tiffany looked around. There was no sign of the Knack Mac Feagles. "They always turn up," she said, "just when I need them." It struck her that there was suddenly something very empty about the forest. It seemed colder, too. "They'll be here any minute," she added, hopefully.
"They got trapped in the dream," said Roland flatly.
"They can't have. I killed a drome."
"It's more complicated than that," said the boy. "You don't know what it's like here. There's dreams inside dreams. There's other things that live inside dreams, horrible things. You never know if you've really woken up. And the Queen controls them all. They're fairy people, anyway. You can't trust them. You can't trust anyone. I don't trust you.
You're probably just another dream." He turned his back and walked away, following the line of hoofprints. Tiffany hesitated. The only other real person was going away, leaving her here with nothing but the trees and the shadows. And, of course, anything horrible that was running towards her through them. She said. "Hello? Rob, anybody? William? Daff, Woolly?" There was no reply. There wasn't even an echo. She was alone, apart from her heartbeats. Well, of course, she'd fought things and won, hadn't she? But the Knack MacFeagles had been there, and somehow that had made it easy. They never gave up. They'd attack absolutely anything, and they didn't know the meaning of the word fear. Tiffany, who had read her way through the dictionary, had a second thought there. Fear was only one of thousands of words the Pixies probably didn't know the meaning of. Unfortunately, she did know what it meant. And the taste and feel of fear, too. She felt it now. She gripped the pan. It didn't seem quite such a good weapon anymore. The cold blue shadows between the trees seemed to be spreading out. They were darkest ahead of her, where the hoofprints led. Strangely enough, the wood behind her seemed almost light and inviting. "Someone doesn't want me to go on," she thought. That was quite encouraging. But the twilight was misty and shimmered unpleasantly. Anything could be waiting. She was waiting, too. She realised that she was waiting for the Knack MacFeagles, hoping against hope that she'd hear a sudden cry, even of Crivens. She was sure it was a swear word. She pulled out the toad, which lay snoring on the palm of her hand, and gave it a prod. What? It croaked. "I'm stuck in a wood of evil dreams, and I'm all alone, and I think it's getting darker," said Tiffany. "What should I do?" The toad opened one bleary eye and said, "Leave." "That is not a lot of help." "Best advice there is," said the toad. "Now put me back, the cold makes me lethargic." Reluctantly, Tiffany put the creature back in her apron pocket, and her hand touched diseases of the sheep. She pulled it out and opened it at random. There was a cure for the steams, but it had been crossed out in pencil. Written in the margin in Granny Aching's big, round, careful handwriting was, "This don't work. One dessert spoonful of turpentine do." Tiffany closed the book with care and put it back gently so as not to disturb the sleeping toad. Then, gripping the pan's handle tightly, she stepped into the long blue shadows. How do you get shadows when there's no sun in the sky, she thought, because it was better to think about things like this than all the other much worse things that were on her mind. But these shadows didn't need light to create them. They crawled around on the snow of their own accord and backed away when she walked towards them. That, at least, was a relief. They piled up behind her. They were following her. She turned and stamped her foot a few times, and they scurried off behind the trees, but she knew they were flowing back when she wasn't looking. She saw a drome in the distance ahead of her, standing half hidden behind a tree. She screamed at it and waved the pan threateningly, and it lumbered off quickly. When she looked round, she saw two more behind her, a long way back. The track led uphill a little, into what looked like a much thicker mist. It glowed faintly. She headed for it. There was no other way to go. When she reached the top of the rise, she looked down into a shallow valley. There were four dromes in it, big ones, bigger than any she's seen so far. They were sitting down in a square, their dumpy legs stretched out in front of them. Each one had a gold collar around its neck, attached to a chain. "Tame ones?" Tiffany wondered aloud. "But who could put a collar round the neck of a drome? Only someone who could dream as well as they could." "We tamed the sheepdogs to help us herd sheep," she thought. "The queen uses dromes to herd dreams." In the centre of the square formed by the dromes, the air was full of mist. The hoof tracks and the tracks of Roland led down past the tamed dromes and into the cloud. Tiffany spun around. The shadows darted back. There was nothing else nearby. No birds sang, nothing moved in the woods. But she could make out three more dromes now, their big, round, soggy faces peering at her around tree trunks. She was being herded now. At a time like this, it would be nice to have someone around to say something like, "No, it's too dangerous, don't do it!" Unfortunately, there wasn't. She was going to commit an act of extreme bravery, and no one would know if it all went wrong. That was frightening, but also annoying. That was it. Annoying. This place annoyed her. It was all stupid and strange. It was the same feeling she'd had when Jenny had leapt out of the river, out of her river, and the Queen had taken her brother. Maybe it was selfish to think like that, but anger was better than fear. Fear was a damp, cold mess, but anger had an edge. She could use it. They were herding her, like a sheep. Well, an angry sheep could send a vicious dog away whimpering. So, four big dromes sitting in a square. It was going to be a big dream. Raising the pan to shoulder height to swipe at anything that came near, and suppressing a dreadful urge to go to the toilet, Tiffany walked slowly down the slope, across the snow, through the mist, and into summer.